Yeah, I was reading. You know how people look at things when they first become a parent, and how things get over the years. You know, I thought about my own mama, and I was the guinea pig. Amen. Of course, in my situation, this is exactly opposite. But I was going to tell you, the guy said I had five siblings, three sisters and two brothers. One night I was chatting with my mom about how she had changed as a mother from the first child to the last. She laughed as she told me about how she had mellowed over the years. Anybody ever mellowed over the years with your parenthood? When your oldest sister coughed or sneezed, I called 911. When your youngest brother swallowed a dime, I just told him it was coming out of his allowance. Okay, DC swallowed a quarter. I made him eat a box of Raisin Bran, but never got the quarter back. But we did get two dimes and a nickel. We're going downhill fast. I'm going to throw that joke book. Oh, where's that thing at? I'm going to throw that as far as I can throw it. Y'all looking at it like a mule looking at a new gate. Amen. God's awesome. All right, how about this then? How about them Dookie boys? Can't they play? Yeah, look, they still weren't firing on all cylinders because they still had some guys injured sitting on the bench, but they still were awesome last night. Matter of fact, the last two nights, if anybody watches basketball, when UNC and Duke played together on Friday night, I believe that was the best Duke Carolina matchup I had seen, because you never knew. You just never knew. And it was just so awesome, even to the very end. And Lynn looked at me and said, "You're not going to start throwing things, are you?" I said, "No." She said, "You're not going to start hollering, are you?" I said, "No." She said, "Too late." But when Duke pulled it out, it was awesome. Then last night, they were just awesome. So again, that's all you're going to hear about Duke until they play again. Amen. I was thinking about DC last week. DC, actually, he just started preaching my sermon today. Actually, I'm telling you, there's going to be a bunch of different places, so I didn't even know where to go with it for a sermon top or a text. So I don't even actually have a text. It kind of worked out in a talk. But as I was working, I was at Emmaus yesterday at Farmville. And while I was sitting there doing the stuff at Farmville, looking over the things we had to do, because I was a spiritual director there yesterday, of course, y'all guys that I put y'all on the spot will appreciate this. I walked in the door, and as I walked in the door, they said, "You know you're the head spiritual director today." I said, "No, I didn't." They said, "Yes, so come on up here and do communion and whatever things you got to do right now." And I said, "DC and all those guys and Brandon and all those, y'all would love that to have been right there when they got thrown on me all at one time." So the Lord does, the Lord avenges his mind, saith the Lord. Amen. All right. How many has ever felt like quitting? It's okay. Nobody's going to shoot you. I promise you, everybody in here at one time or another has felt like quitting. And so I was looking at this, and really I thought about times getting tough. I thought about DC last week, and of course I just can't, and I won't get it out of my mind ever, I know, but I'm thinking about Bethany, and last week was a tough week because there were some things that happened, you know, that reminded me of Bethany. And then when I went to Emmaus yesterday, I was talking about God's Got This, and somebody wrote a song in Emmaus called God's Got This. And so we even sang it yesterday in Emmaus, God's Got This. And one of the guys said, "That's going to be our theme this year, I think, is God's Got This." So again, all this stuff has been on my heart. And I think about other things that we've all go through all our lives. Every last one of us in here, we're going through something. If you're not going through something, raise your hand. And we're going to pray for that lying spirit. Amen? Everybody in here is going through something. The only problem is we don't necessarily know that everybody else is going through something. Here's why. When you see me up here, or when you see me on the road or see me somewhere, all you see is a snapshot. That's it. You get a Polaroid. And you're thinking, "Wow, that guy's smiling. That guy's got it made. Look at him. Good God, I wish I had his hand. I'd throw mine in and up to Annie." And then I can look at you. Or when you're looking at yourself, you're looking at your entire history. So you've brought your entire game tape. You're watching me, and all you see is a snapshot. With yourself, you see the entire game shape, the film roll of your entire life. And so in the same way with me, I watch you sometimes, and I'm thinking, man, the Lord's really blessing them. And then I'm thinking, wait a minute, I got to stop Because I'm only looking at a snapshot. That's it. I'm looking at a picture. And when I think about what I'm going through, you know, since Bethany died, I think I've done 4 funerals since Bethany died. I did one last weekend. And it's just, it never stops. And between 20, 24, or 21, 24, 86, it's just constant, you know, and other things going on. So, but when things get tough, it's easy to want to throw your hat in. It's easy to want to throw the towel in. It's easy just to want just to quit and just back away or walk off or just say let somebody else have it because this thing's just getting too tough. Well, it's really kind of cool that in this semester, I've just completed 36 hours of psychology and I'm psyched out. Matter of fact, after the 36th hour, I feel stupid. I'm so stupid right now, I can hardly even put one foot in front of the other. The more I study, the worse I get. I'm thinking, good God, if I study anymore, I'm going to have to put me up to a brainwave machine to make me think. Okay? And so this time, they did cut some slack. I'm doing no psychology for the first time in a year and doing conflict management. And as I'm doing conflict management, I'm looking at it and reading, and I'm thinking, wow, you know, I thought about it this way before, but I really hadn't thought about it this way before. And you know, they explained it like this. There is left-handed Christians and there's right-handed Christians. The left-handed Christians, they're all about mercy and grace and keeping the peace. The right-handed Christians are all about the law and keeping things like it should be. And defending it if they have to. And they don't realize that God has got a left hand and a right hand. He's not just all this and he's not just all that. He's got both hands. He knows when to use each one. Amen. And so at the same time, I was reading that stuff and going through this stuff and doing funerals and all this last week. And then there was even a day when Dorothy and Billy wound up at the hospital both at the same time. It was just crazy, the stuff that was going on. And so again, when life gets tough, it's not time to give up. It's time to grab a hold and to know that God's getting ready to promote you to another level. That's what's happening. You know, in school, how many times have you ever gone to another level without being tested first? And during the test, how many times was the teacher talking? Usually during the test, the teacher was silent. So think about this thing. A lot of us are going through tests right now. We're trying to talk to God. We're not hearing Him talk. It's because the teacher is silent. You're taking your test. Life is tough. Things are getting rough, and you're beginning to wonder if it's even worth it anymore. So just like I said, this is more like a conversation I was having with myself and doing some independent studying and also doing some stuff from Tuesday night in here. I want you to see something here. 4 reasons why you shouldn't give up when the going gets tough. You know, I want you to say this with me. Life will say me instead of you, though. Say, life will never take me, say it, where God's grace cannot sustain me. Life will never take me where God's grace cannot sustain me. Now for the last couple of weeks, we're leading up to this about depression, stuff that's coming up. It's probably going to be, all this is going to probably happen exactly after the Emmaus walk, okay? And we got Easter coming up and we got Emmaus, so probably all this will happen after Emmaus and after Easter. But here it goes. You know, we're talking about on Tuesday nights on how to relax in God's grace. And so, did an acrostic with relax. And the very first one, I'm not going to go through the whole study because it's so awesome and it's so long. It's taking us 3 weeks and we're getting to the X this week. So finally, we're going to get through the relaxing part. But I can tell you, the people that have been here have all told me that they feel so much better when they start putting these principles in their life. And even, do you mind if I even use you, Eddie, what you said? Eddie said, I didn't realize how tense I was. I didn't realize what was going on inside of me until I started doing this stuff. And then as I started feeling the release, then I realized, wow, I'm feeling so much better. Okay? But look, number one, R, realize nobody's perfect. Nobody. When you're looking at a person, just remember this, all you're seeing is a snapshot. That's all you see, a snapshot. Even if you see them 2 or 3 times a week, you just got an album going with snapshots in it. You've got to live with that person. That's why I tell people when they get married, they go, oh, I can live with this person forever. We don't fight. We don't argue. There's never a problem. Everything's hunky-dory. It's heaven on earth. I said, yeah, you say that now. And then I'd look, and of course, you know, I said there's the three rings. There's the engagement ring, the wedding ring, and then the suffering. Yeah, the three rings of marriage. So watch. Realize that nobody's perfect. The Bible says nothing is perfect except your words, God, okay? Number two, enjoy God's unconditional love. L, let God handle things in your life. A, act in faith, not fear. And E, is actually X, exchange your perfectionism for God's peace. That's what we're going to do this week to finish that up. But I just want to talk to you today about the reasons why you shouldn't give up. You know, fear, whenever you let fear come into your heart and fear begins to get in here, and you can tell when fear is starting to get into your heart because your heart starts beating hard, and you start having doubts, and you begin to think, have I done something wrong, God? Am I moving in the wrong direction? God, this thing's really bad. You know, what have I done? I'm nothing. And then you start hearing all these things like I told you. I think I told y'all last week. I'm not sure. I think I told the guys on Tuesday, Saturday night, last Saturday night, I walked in the living room and Adam Sandler's movie Big Daddy was on. And so I was watching Big Daddy and he's trying to foster this child and all the things they were going through, and it just brought me back to Bethany. And so I was laughing. Next thing I'm crying. I'm thinking, this is not cool. This is hitting me hard. For this to be a comedy, it's hitting me hard. And so I get up and walk into the other room. When I get walk into the other room just to get my breath, there's that great big teddy bear that we had up here at her by her urn. It's sitting in a chair that she always sat in when she wasn't feeling good and didn't want to be around anybody. It's sitting in a chair just like her. It's life size. And it was leaned over like she used to lean over. And so I saw that. I said, oh, no, it's getting worse. So I turned my head, literally turned my head, and I saw her urn sitting there with the light on it. And we've got the program from her funeral up there. And I said, ugh. So I walked in the kitchen to get some water. When I walked in the kitchen to get some water, the never lies started. If you had have been a better daddy, she'd have never died. If you had have taken her sooner, she'd have not had to go through what she went through. If you had have, she would have never, 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 never. And I was preaching the next day on leaving Neverland. And so I said, you know what? I'm getting a firsthand account now of what tomorrow's sermon's about. You're not going to consume my mind, Satan. You're not going to get me caught up in the never lies. I'm not even going to rent space in Neverland today. You're a liar, and I know you are, and this is coming from you. It's not coming from God. God brings conviction, but devil brings condemnation. This is condemnation. I'm not going to take it. And I walked right back in and sat down and finished watching that movie, and I shifted my focus, and I just laughed and laughed and laughed and laughed. And I said, I'm not going to live with you always trying to keep me in Neverland, and you always trying to keep me in fear. And so last week was an awesome thing. I was living it before I actually preached it the next day. So fear shifts my focus from power to problems. DC and I were talking. DC, I'm going to tell on us, okay? You and me both. We're riding down the road to the church. DC's sitting in the truck waiting for the record to come. He's already gone. He's done waited out in the swamp. He's got his tire. He's sitting there waiting in his truck for the record to come. We're talking. And he's talking about what had happened. And I could see it was getting tenser and tenser and tenser. And so I said, you know, DC, I got that. I did like you said. I went and got that pavilion. I got a HP pavilion, and it's a 360. I said, it's not the most expensive thing, but it's not the cheapest that things can do. And DC said, what does that got to do with my truck in the ditch? He said, you just, boop, there it is. What are you talking about, Dad? Don't you, I was always like, don't you care? Don't you see where I'm at? And I said, son, if we kept going in the direction we were going in, somebody was going to get hurt. I said, I need to shift your attention quickly. He said, oh, okay, that's a pretty cool computer. And let's talk back about this problem again. Nope. Now, fear shifts your focus from power to solve the problem to being consumed with the problem. Matter of fact, like, look this way. Faith may not stop the problem. Hear me? Hear me good. Faith may not stop the problem, but it will bring peace, and it will bring comfort, and it will bring help. Doesn't mean it's going to stop. You know, I have a talk at Emmaus, and I'm trying to incorporate Bethany into this talk. about how God, even in the midst of her death, all the way to her death, how God used her and how God did so much for so many people. And I'm still every day, I'm not talking about every so often, every day somebody calls me, talks to me, texts me, and tells me how much Bethany meant to them and what she did and the example that she set and how she was always smiling no matter how bad she was. And some said, they keep saying, we didn't realize how sick she was because she was always so joyful and always just so full of life. And so again, it didn't stop her from dying. But watch, it brought us peace, it brought us comfort, and it brought us help. Matter of fact, when you look at your problems in faith, what it does is, watch, it takes the problems out of your hand and it puts them in God's hands. Some of us right now, we're holding on to our problems so hard, we can't let go, and we're scared to let go of them because we think if we let go of them, it will lose control. And if we lose control, it's over. You know what? How many got that mighty army yesterday that says use this when we come to the end of our thinking that God gives us his ideas? It's when we come to the end of our own ideas, when we got nothing left. Some of y'all still aren't getting Mighty Army. I keep putting y'all in. One of these days, you're going to get like 50 of them because I keep adding y'all in and adding you in. Well, I think if anybody's got Verizon, if you're not getting, you got Verizon, something about Verizon and U.S. Cellular and that app in between, it just sometimes don't work. And then sometimes you get a bunch of them. Poor Frankie, she wasn't getting any. Now she gets them all over the place. I mean, they come to her. And I even try to take them out and she still gets a bunch of them. Amen. So watch. Faith takes the problem out of your hands and puts them in God. But, watch this, fear will never stop the problem. Faith may not stop the problem, but fear will never stop the problem. It extends, it compounds your problem, and it depletes peace, comfort, and our problem stays in our hand. It's our problem. We got to take care of it. We own it now. How many like owning problems? Now, if you own a Ford, you may own a problem. Okay, if you own a Chevrolet, you may own a problem. You know, the other day I saw a friend of mine I used to work with, a Procter & Gamble. He's a big guy, and he was at Lowe's, and I looked at him and said, he was driving a great old big Ford truck. And I said, when I grow up, I'm going to be just like you. I'm going to get me a big truck, but mine's not going to have whatever that sign is. Mine's going to have a Ram on it. And I went home and told my wife, and she says, yeah, and when you really grow up, you'll get a bow tie on it. All right, so watch this. Four good reasons not to quit. Look at somebody and say, we're getting ready to hear four good reasons not to quit. Tell them. This is not something I made up. This is not something that's counterproductive. This is something very productive. It's something that'll work in your life. It works all the time. This is going to be part of what we're going to do on Tuesday nights during that 8 weeks. What we're going to do is, during that 8 weeks, we got five senses, but during that 8 weeks, I'm going to focus on one sense every week, smell, touch, hearing. I'm going to focus on one of your senses every week. And during that time, every week, we're going to take God's word, and we're going to do some exercises, and we're going to do some things that's going to help you relax, help you to calm down, help you when you're in the worst of conditions, when you're ready to kill somebody. It'll help you get some peace in your heart and help you let God take over. Amen? So watch this. Watch this now. Watch. Get ready. I love this. We're not judged by what we finish. I mean, we're judged by what we finish, not by what we start. I'm going to leave that right there for a minute. We're judged by what we finish, not by what we start. Watch this. You will not be remembered for the things you start, but rather for the things you finish. In the Christian race, watch this now. To get to heaven, all it takes is the cross. That's it. You accept Jesus Christ's blood, the cross, and nothing else. That gets you salvation, the cross plus nothing else. But it's what you do after you receive Jesus is what's going to decide your rewards when you get to heaven. Right? So in the Christian race, you're not rewarded because you finished first. You're rewarded because you finished strong. Wow. Think about that. You're not rewarded because you finished first. This isn't who comes in first. There was in the Greek games, there was one of these games where everybody got their lamp was lit, and when they ran the destination of how many miles it was, I don't remember, but when they got to the other end, it wasn't who got there first, it's who got there with the lamp still lit. God judges us not by what we start, but what we finish, what we get going and keep on moving. Amen? Because it's so easy just to quit. So here we go. I love this. This is so, y'all are looking kind of like, I'm not sure what you're looking like. Here you go. Here's puzzles. All right. Know this. Tomorrow is going to be a better day. Maybe not Monday. It might not be Tuesday. It might not be Wednesday. But your tomorrow is coming. The Bible says, weeping endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. That word weeping means emotional breakdown. It means literally not just to have a tear, but it means when everything within you wants to quit and wants to run the other way. That may endure, and that endure means literally it's a weight on you, it's on your shoulders. That intense emotional pain may be on your shoulders for a while, but joy comes in the morning. That word morning means breakthrough, so it doesn't mean 24 hours. It means when God breaks it through. You know, I like to think about this, and again, I was just writing stuff down. You know, however bad things may look today, take comfort that tomorrow will be a better day. A lot of us would make a lot of better decisions if we could learn to sleep on it. You know why? Because we make emotional decisions. And when you make emotional decisions, you mess up. If I'm making my decision based on my emotions at the moment, then I could do something that could harm a relationship from here to eternity, and it shouldn't have been if I'd have just slept on it. You know, why you sleep on it? Why does it tell us to sleep on it? Because remember I told you, it's during that time when you have dreams. Dreams is when your mind's trying to work out what's going on in your life, and it's trying to help you figure out what's happening. How many's ever gone to bed with a problem and couldn't figure it out? Done it so many times, could not figure it out. And during the night, all of a sudden, something happened when you were resting and your brain was doing restorative. Your brain restores itself every night when you sleep, but you got to be in REM sleep to restore. And if you don't get enough sleep, and if you just get a little bitty sleep where you just kind of snooze and that's it, then nothing's going to happen. It's going to get worse. But if you can get some REM sleep, and dream, guess what? When you get up in the morning, God will have helped you work out your problem. And so I can't tell you how many times I went to bed when it was a problem with spiritual, mental, emotional, whatever the problem was, a problem at work. I go to bed not knowing what to do and wake up in the morning and all of a sudden it hit me. Oh, you know what? I'm sure glad I slept on that. Because if I hadn't slept on it, I'd have messed up. I'd have messed up in my marriage. I'd have messed up in a relationship. I'd have messed up on my job. I'd have messed up on something. But I'm glad that I stopped without making emotional decisions and let God talk to me. You say, I love this. It may be Friday now, but Sunday's coming. Amen? That's the greatest example in the world. They had all these aspirations about Jesus. He was going to be the king. He was going to rule the world. He was going to rule the Romans. He was going to rule religion. He was going to take care of it all. And that's why they were so afraid and why they ran and were so scared, because they were not. We got to cut disciples a little bit of slack. They weren't expecting what they got. They were expecting one thing and got another. And when Jesus is being beat, they just couldn't even believe what they were seeing. And then they put him in the tomb. He died. They put him in the tomb. But you know what? Hey, it may be for Friday, but Sunday's coming. Amen? Because on Sunday morning, he was alive and well. Amen? So here's my favorite verse. I use this a lot during Bethany's sickness. It's actually Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. If you can do that, calm down. Take a deep breath. Some of y'all, how many here besides me has got ADHD? I'm going to give you a little something that's going to help you right now. Okay, stop. Don't go to the store and give out a bunch of drugs, okay? Sit down. What I do is sometimes I just go to Starbucks and get me some of that John Wayne coffee. You say, well, what has that got to do with the price of tea in China? Very simply, if you got ADHD, you know what they give you to help that? Stimulants. So what I do is, watch, if I can sit down, I was amazed. I couldn't even think about my sermon. I couldn't think about my sermon, couldn't think about this, that. I go sit in Starbucks, and all of a sudden I start writing all this stuff down. And finally it hit me one day, especially when I went into psychology and read about what was going on. I said, well, no wonder. I'm medicating myself. Amen. Starbucks is the cure for ADHD. Calm down. Give it to God. Trust in Him with all your heart, all your mind, all your soul, everything you've got. Give it to Him and say, God, I don't understand this place I'm in. I don't understand it. I can think about it just recently. I can think of four or five things I can't figure out. I don't know why it's happening. It drives me up the wall. It hurts beyond hurt. But you know what? At the same time, as I give it to Him, God just always winds up sending back good things to me. Amen. If you'll trust with the Lord with all your heart, lean not to your own understanding. Don't try to fix it yourself. Before you know it, things will suddenly start to make sense. Amen? Look at somebody and say, quit trying to fix it. And let God do it. So, here, it's cool. This is one of the reasons. Look, watch this here. Look. Tomorrow's a better day. That's one of the reasons why you don't need to quit. It ain't over yet. I love what Yogi Berra, he used to say some of the greatest things. He said, it ain't over till it's over. Amen? Okay. All right, so here we go. I said Yogi Berra, not Yogi Bear. Yogi Berra said, hey, boo-boo. Is that a pick-a-dick-a basket? All right. Number two. Yeah, I'm gonna say that for the hard times. Amen. All right. Again, I was doing a study on faith. As I'm doing a study on faith, it's been amazing to me because watch this. Hope is the raw material for your faith. Faith is believing that there's a light at the end of the tunnel. Hope is trusting that it's not the train. Oh, I didn't hear that. Faith is believing that there's a light in a tunnel. Hope is trusting that it's not the train. Amen. So now look, faith can move mountains, but your hope moves your faith. Think about this now. Listen carefully. Faith moves mountains. The Bible says it in Matthew. It says it in Mark. It says over about if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, be thou removed. You can say to the fig tree, be thou cast up and pulled out. All this stuff, if you have that kind of faith, mustard seed faith, small faith. Faith moves mountains, but it's your hope that moves your faith. You got to hope for something. You got to believe it's going to get better. You got to believe that God's going to do something. And then back off and let Him do it. Amen? Look, did you know that the devil, I see this in so many people's lives, every day. Do you know that the devil will do anything in his power to make you hopeless? Because remember, listen carefully, if my hope moves my, or look, if my faith will move a mountain, but my hope moves my faith, then look, if he can get me to believe it's hopeless, he's got me. Don't raise your hands. I just want you to think. How many people in here in the last week, with whatever kind of circumstance it was, in your mind, Satan's got you believing that whatever the situation is, it's hopeless? Don't raise your hands. And don't point. It's hopeless. Guess what? If Satan's got you believing it's hopeless, let me tell you what that is. That's a lie from hell. And God's fixing to move in your life. Just before God moves, Satan, watch this. Satan, knowing that your hope moves your faith, will try to zap your hope. And in any situation you're in right now, think about whatever the situation is right now, and you say it's hopeless, that's Satan coming at you, trying to make you stop before your hope moves your faith. Amen? Proverbs 13 and 12, it says hope deferred, but that's a whole lot of the Elizabethan English is kind of hard to understand, so I got the message out. Look at this. Unrelenting disappointment leaves you heartsick, but a sudden good break can turn life around. Unrelenting disappointment. How many has been disappointed at least once this week? Twice, three times. Last week, I was sitting here, and I told you I wasn't going to talk about him, but I'm going to talk about Carolina. My buddy, my friend, the guy that is shyer than me, come up here before service, just before, you always get these things just before you preach. I ain't getting ready to preach. He comes walking up and says, I wish I'd have brought my broom today. And then it hit me. Oh, Carolina won both of those games against the other team. Got a clean sweep. And I looked at him and said, tomorrow's coming. You wait till they get the other guys playing again and watch what happens. And who are the ACC champions? ACC tournament champions, yeah. Who are they? Somebody. I couldn't say it. I told you I wasn't going to say it. She says, well, I just had to say it. All right. I had hope that once they got their guys back. See, you know one of the reasons why they were losing? I heard some background information. Once Williamson got hurt like that, and the way he got hurt, that it actually got the guys depressed. They actually, no joke, the team began to lose hope. And so they did not play to their full potential because they were hopeless. And once somebody came in and talked with them and showed them that it's not hopeless, that it's okay, it's amazing. And then once they got, of course, when they got their players back in, and they didn't have all of them, but they got most of them back in, it's amazing what happened. Is then they were no longer hopeless, and look what happened. So now watch this now, watch. As long as you're still alive, hope has a chance. If you can learn to hold on, I know I've slowed down, it's a little slower today, but that's okay because there's a lot of meat. Matter of fact, I hope you got your bib on, I hope you got your steak knife. Hold on to your faith no matter what. And you know what you're going to see? I love this. Watch this. Romans 5, 3 through 5. Not only so, but we also glory in our sufferings. Because we know that suffering produces perseverance, and perseverance character, and character hope. And hope does not put us to shame because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given unto us. Hope will not make you ashamed. Hope is the feed for our faith. So now, watch this. Here's another reason. I'm getting to tell you a reason. I love this. When everything seems to be going against you, remember that the airplane takes off against the wind, not with it. Anybody ever try to fly a kite with the wind? Don't you look silly out there. That thing land on top of your head, everywhere you go. Every time you pick it up, it's dragging the ground because a kite's not going to go with the wind. A kite goes against the wind. The stronger the wind, the higher the kite will go. When everything seems to be going against you, remember, the airplane takes off against the wind, not with it. So watch this. Oh, I love this. This is part of my class right now, too. Where there is no friction, there is no movement. If everything went perfect, you'd have a bad day. If every day was sunshine, eventually you would live in a desert. Watch. There's a positive and there's a negative friction in all of our lives. First, the negative. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth them out of them all. That word afflictions, I was looking it up. And it was so amazing because actually I was sitting in a mess yesterday, and I was watching that and keeping up what was going on over there, and I started working on my sermon some, and all of a sudden this verse come to me, and the Lord told me, look that word of afflictions. Look it up strong. So I looked it up strong. I really started looking, really doing background on it. And I found out one of the words for afflictions is friction. Wow. Wow. Isn't that cool? Many are the frictions of the righteous. That's got to do something for you. It's still inside of me jumping. It's like a little bean jumping in here. Many are the frictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers them out of them all. There's going to be times that you're going to have friction come against you. I can sit back and I think about some of the frictions I've gone through in the last few weeks. And I think about D.C. when he called me at 5:30 in the morning, I said, this can't be good. And he says, Daddy, I'm on Worcester Beach Road. I'm in a ditch. I said, are you okay? Like he asked the other guy, are y'all dead? No, okay. I said, D.C., are you okay? He said, yes, sir. I said, do you need me to go get you? He said, no, sir. I said, okay, now tell me what's going on. Many are the frictions of the righteous. Now watch this, that's the negative, because some things come against you don't really want coming against you, but you don't realize. You know, how many's ever smelt fertilizer? Especially old-fashioned fertilizer. Old-fashioned fertilizer. That comes from the exhaust of the mules and it comes from the exhaust of the oxes. Smells bad, don't it? But it's amazing how it makes things grow. Some things in your life are stinking right now. You don't realize that it's fertilizer. It's taking care, and also it's helping the friction. All right. So here we go. Here's the positive. Here's a positive one. Ready? Iron sharpens iron. That word sharpen. Friction. Iron sharpens iron. So a man's friction with this. And he helps the countenance of his friend. Did y'all see what we were playing a while ago? BJ turned around, and I was doing my Jimi Hendrix. I wasn't paying attention. And finally, it was so funny because sometimes he's trying to get my attention. All of a sudden, Brandon's there popping me on the arm because I'm there just. I turned around, and BJ said, calm it down. I said, oh, okay. But it messes up when I close my eyes, and all of a sudden, I appreciated that friction from BJ. I told BJ, I said, BJ, if you hear me doing it, stop me, tell me. I want you to tell me. I want us to sound good. You tell me. DC, if I'm not doing right, tell me. I want y'all to bring that friction. And then sometimes DC will say, Daddy, I don't want you to play what everybody else is playing. Everybody else is playing C. I want you to play E. And I go, D.C., that sounds kind of weird. He says, just trust me. That hit me last night. That's friction. He calls it something. What do you call it? Tension. Yeah, tension. That's friction. It's creative friction. And so when you put two things that don't sound like they're supposed to be together, the friction makes an awesome sound. And so sometimes you might hear me sound like I'm playing something that they're not playing. It's because DC says, Daddy, it's time for your tension. It's time to get it going. And so again, watch this. Iron sharpens iron. If everybody was just alike, life would be boring. Amen? Think about your favorite person. If everybody was like that favorite person, life would be boring. Amen? Think about your least favorite person. If everybody was like them, not only would life be boring, you want to beat yourself to death. All right. I love this one. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself as having been taken hold of, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things that are behind and straining toward what is ahead. And that word straining is what? Wow. Where there is no friction, there is no movement. DC tickled me a while ago. I said, DC said, after he said what he said about He was talking to all y'all. He looked at me and said, okay, that's it. Sure, you're going to preach my sermon. So I told him, I said, you just set my sermon up. He said, I'm glad my $10,000 weekend set your sermon up. Say it. No friction, no movement. And here's my favorite one, and I'm going to let y'all go. There you go. No matter what, there's a reason, the biggest reason for me not to quit is he will never leave us. Ever. Ever. It says, let your conversation be without covetousness and be content with such things as you have. That kind of sometimes blurs things because it's in the Elizabethan English. So I put something amplified behind it so you can see it. But it says, I have said I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. I'll never leave you emotionally or physically. Watch this. Watch this. Let your character or moral disposition be free from the love of money, including greed, avarice, lust, craving for earthly possessions. Here goes. Listen. Be satisfied with your present circumstances and with what you have. Be satisfied. And that's not just money. That's anything you're going on. Learn to be satisfied with your present circumstances and what you have. For he, God himself, has said, I will not in any way fail you, nor give you up, nor leave you without support. And here's how it says in the Greek. It's more than just one. It's repeated. I will not, I will not, I will not in any degree leave you helpless, nor forsake you, or let you down, or relax my hold on you. Assuredly not. Wow. Y'all guys get ready. I'm going to just let y'all read that for a minute without me even saying anything. Just let you look at it and think about it. Trials are not a reason to give up. Our pain is not an excuse to quit. Be strong. Your trials and your pain, your frictions, are bringing you to a place that you could not be without that. God is more concerned about your character than your comfort. If all he was worried about was your comfort, he'd be a sugar daddy. Y'all guys, come on up here. He'd be a sugar daddy. We don't need a sugar daddy. We need a heavenly father that takes care of us and shows us how to get through things so we can help other people get through things. I was listening yesterday as the guys are doing the Emmaus, as they're doing the Emmaus talks. And do you know there's 15 talks during the whole weekend. They call them talks, but when the spiritual directors do it, they're still called talks, but it's a sermon. These other guys are taking sermons and just, all of them are sermons. They're just the way they do it. And one thing I noticed about every person, every last one of them had been through something terrible. And in our group, a majority of them had even lost a child through death, through an accident, through sickness. And every one of these guys get up and talk, and even the youngest guy yesterday, Mark Curran's son, he's in his early 20s. He's a youth minister. He got up yesterday, and he got in a car wreck several months back. And I've never heard of this. He ripped his diaphragm. And they had to go in and cut him and put his diaphragm back together. I've never even heard of that. There were some nurses in there with us yesterday and they said, we never heard of it. We had to go check it out. This car wreck he had. So even the youngest guy with the his talk, he got up and he said, it's still going to be a good long time before I can even pick up anything because I'm cut from here to here, or they put my diaphragm back together. But those talks are so powerful because, of course, they all have a skeleton, so we're all doing the same thing all over the world. The skeleton is the same, but the meat is ours. And of course, the spiritual directors, they give us a whole lot more leeway, but still, there's a skeleton or points that you have to hit. Just do it your way. And I listened yesterday, and some of these guys I've known for 10 years, but never heard those stories that someone were telling yesterday. And all I could hear, and I was working on this sermon at the same time, about all the friction in everybody's life, and the people with the most friction, it seemed like God was using them in a very powerful way. If you got friction in your life today, know that God's fixing to do something with you so powerful that you would never imagine it would be this way. Everybody stand. One of the most powerful things, other than the ones about the death, and this is in perseverance, is years ago, probably one of my first Emmaus. My first Emmaus. The guy got up and he was leading. He was the lay director, and he carried on. And as I listened to him, I noticed there was something different about the way he handled himself. And I just couldn't put my finger on it. There was just something different. And I found out years later that when this guy was picked to be the lay director, he could not read or write. And he drove an hour or so for the months coming up to the walk, drove to learn how to read and write. He's been pushed along in school and pushed along in school. And he drove hours each week to go to somebody teaching him how to read and how to write. The respect I haven't seen that man in years, but the respect I gained for him was amazing because of what he did. Friction. Without friction, there is no movement. I thank you, God. Y'all say this to me. I thank you, God, for my friction, because it's only making me stronger. I thank you, God, for my friction, because it's making me a better Christian, and I thank you for it. Now today, matter of fact, everybody bow your head. With nobody looking around, every eye closed, I'm going to ask you to do something that you may not want to do, and that's okay. But this is the beginning of your healing and the beginning of your power. When nobody's looking around, every eye's closed. If you've been tempted, I didn't say you were going to. You were tempted lately because of trials and because things got so hard. If you were tempted to give up and even considered it, with nobody looking around, every head bowed, I don't want you to keep your hand up. I just want you to slide it up and put it back down. Slide it up and put it back down. Today marks a new day in your life, because tomorrow will be different. Remember the four reasons. Tomorrow's a better day. Hope is the raw material for your faith. Without friction, there is no movement, and He will never leave you. I want everybody to say this together. Lord, I thank you for this day. And I thank you that tomorrow is going to be a better day. You got this, God. You got this, God. I don't have to give up. I don't have to give in. Better days are coming. And I thank you, God, for what you're doing and for the friction in my life. I'm getting ready to soar. Say it. I'm getting ready to soar when the winds hit me. Thank you, God. Lord, in the name of Jesus, bless them all. Let them know, God, that you got this. There's no reason to let go. There's no reason to quit. I know Satan will try to tempt them. He tries to tempt me every day. I know that he would love for us to quit, to turn and walk away, to just give up on all of it. But God, I know, Lord, greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world, and you will never leave us. Ever. 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 Don't say it. Ever. 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 Now, if anybody has another need to pray, y'all come on up here. The altars are open. I just want to make sure everybody got a chance to get in that prayer service. Anybody's got a need, come on up here. The altars are open. Oh, there it is. Here's all I want you to say, because I just heard the Lord speaking in my ears. Next time it's getting rough on you and it's getting tough, the friction, I want you to say this: by his friction, we are healed. By his friction, nails in his hands, in his feet, side ripped, body ripped, nailed to a cross. By his friction, we are healed. I know friction hurts. I know friction burns. I know friction can make you feel like you can't hardly take it. But just remember the friction that Jesus suffered. Thank you, God, that your son suffered friction first. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Anybody else? Anybody else before we close? God's awesome. All the time. You got it?
Yeah.
You sure? You got it? Okay. Y'all say that with me. Trials are no reason to give up. Our pain is no excuse to quit. Be strong. Paul told the Corinthians, Be strong. Quit you like men. That didn't mean quit. It meant equip yourself. Be strong like a man. Amen. Be strong. This is good stuff. We're growing. Amen. Growing. Y'all say we're growing. Ha, all right. Brother Steve, will you dismiss us in prayer, please? Before he does, though, we're going to say the Lord's Prayer together, okay? I have to say the Lord's Prayer together. Brother Steve's going to dismiss us in prayer. Y'all stand. Y'all stand with me. Our Father,
who art in heaven,
hallowed be thy name.
Hallowed be thy
name. Thy kingdom come.
Thy will be done.
On earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those that trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Father God, we just praise you and love you, Lord. We just thank you for blessing us each and every day. And Lord, we thank you for the trials that come our way. And Lord, we thank you for being there to hold us up, to take us through it. And Lord, we give you honor and praise and glory for each and everything that you do for us. In Jesus' precious and holy name we pray. Amen and amen.